tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today is Izzy Mora. Izzy is with the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation, a very important organization here in the El Paso area, and of course everybody is very familiar with cancer and diabetes and in the El Paso area, but we really... It seems almost like we've been hit real hard with a lot of cancer situations recently with people that we know, people perhaps you know. And so we're going to talk a little bit because the statistics show that during your lifetime, you are going to run into somebody who has had cancer at one time or another. Izzy, thank you very much for being with us here today.
I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you, Louis. I appreciate you having us on.
For many years, cancer used to be... You know, the big C, they called it. And it was also something that, unfortunately, when somebody said they had cancer, it was like a death sentence.
Yes,
and
yes.
Things have changed so much. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of people who suffer from it and some who have passed on. But there are also a lot of survivors.
Absolutely. We've, I think as a research community in science and whatnot, we've made great strides in helping people to survive. And yeah, it was a death sentence at one point, and that's what everybody associates with it. That's once you are told you have cancer, automatically the thought is, I'm going to die. But now, today, we see so many survivors, and you see them in the races, and you see them on television, you see them on The View, and everybody is posting testimony of how they are able to live beyond cancer. And I think that's an important part. That's something that our organization is really driven by now. That's one of our main focuses for the coming future, is to help survivors understand how they can maintain survivorhood.
When people get the news, when they're diagnosed with cancer, they don't realize, first of all, you know, they're in shock. You know, I was, and my personal testimony is my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer last year. But there's a lot of support here in El Paso, and there's a lot of people in this room who helped me out, and of course, my friends and family from church. But they don't realize that your organization is out there to help you and guide you through this, as far as if you need to travel out of town, special programs, tickets, because it's overwhelming. All of a sudden you realize, you know, I have to fly to Houston, or I have to go somewhere out of town, or I have to buy this, I have to buy that. And you guys have a lot of programs available to help people out.
Absolutely. I think, and just to acknowledge something, you know, one of the things that is most natural is that shock is a legitimate response. It's a legitimate emotional response. And a lot of the patients that come to us come from a point of shock, and they need to be informed about what's coming. Information is one of our biggest weapons, because it helps you understand what you're going to go through, how you're going to deal with it, what kind of emotions you're going to go through, and all of the things, all of the aspects that come with it. But we are a funder, a funding organization. We have funded not-for-profits that help cancer patients, such as Creative Kids, Candlelighters of the El Paso area, United Blood Services, the University Breast Care Center, and whatnot. That's a big part of what we do. But the other thing is that we do have our own programs. And one of them that you mentioned is the Patient Assistance Transportation Service. And through that, we offer airline tickets or gas cards to folks that have to go out of town because their treatment isn't available here. There are some that have rarer cancers or very advanced cancers, and so they do have to travel outside of town. And if you've been on an air flight recently, you know that a round-trip ticket to MD Anderson in Houston is about $600. And I know that I don't have $600 waiting around just for a trip to.
And it's not just one trip.
No, yeah, and it's often several times a year. And, you know, four, five, six times a year. So we do offer that assistance. We also have a really nice program called the Four Seasons Beauty Program, which offers wigs, hats, and scarves, and post-mastectomy garments for women who are going through the changes, the very difficult and sometimes psychologically traumatizing changes that, you know, chemotherapy and radiation therapy brings with it, because it does change your body a bit. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because for a woman, her body means a lot, and I'm not saying it's not important for guys, or that a woman's body is all that matters, but the fact that you lose your hair, you lose your breast, all of a sudden you don't feel like yourself, and one of the biggest things that perhaps comes is that fear is, how am I going to be accepted? And you guys, through this program, you let them know that, hey, you're still beautiful. What's inside is what counts, etc.
Very much so. Our tagline for the program is "Seasons change, but beauty remains." Noting that despite the fact that you've lost, you know, the typical trappings of being a female in our society is that you've got to be pretty, and you've lost hair, eyelashes, eyebrows, and all of the components. But through wigs and a lot of self-edifying literature through our library, The Greenhouse, you can find that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You will get over this. And through it all, you need to be able to face your world. That means you need to be able to go to work, you need to go to the grocery store, you need to face your family, and sometimes your children. And for a lot of females, that can be really damaging to have to face all of that without your usual beauty. And so through this program, that's one of the things that we reinforce with a simple thing like a wig.
Now, as you mentioned, wig, you have a benefit coming up soon.
We do.
And that has something to do with wigs.
Absolutely. It's called the Sergeant Pepper's Wondrous Wigorium. We have a really wonderful volunteer. I wish he was here. He was out of town for a conference. But he works at the treatment centers for us and helps patients every day, you know, in the chemotherapy areas and radiation areas. And one thing he noted was that we were unable to keep enough wigs on hand because the demand is so large. You'd be amazed at how many women are going through this. Last year alone, we gave out 413 wigs. And that's for women who couldn't afford them. There's a lot of women who bought their own, so the number is quite larger. But he noticed we can't hold on to wigs, especially in our Latina community. The brunettes go really fast. So he said, well, I'm a musician and I love the Beatles and I have this band and we do this really great concerts and it's all for charity and we're willing to donate. And what we want to do is raise money to buy wigs and so that we can give out enough. And he said, well, maybe we'll raise about $1,000 to $2,000. And in the end, last year was the first year, he brought in $8,000. Yes, they sold the place out at the Chamizal, and they did it all with everything having been donated. So, you know, very little cost overhead on the fundraiser, but it was a beautiful, beautiful concert.
So you're talking about, this is a local band?
It is.
Okay.
They're called the Moondogs. And what I learned from, because I am a big Beatles fan, but I did not know that once upon a time when the Beatles were forming and they didn't quite have the Beatles name locked in, that John Lennon was asked, what's the name of your band? And he said, Johnny and the Moondogs. And so that's why they called themselves the Moondogs.
That's a great story, and it's ironic too that you're talking about wigs, because You know, that's what tagged the Beatles, too. They called them the mop heads, and they sold Beatle wigs for everybody, and some people still have some. You know, of course, their hair, by today's standards, I guess, is not long. One of the things that that people talk about is, I'm glad you mentioned the Beatles earlier and the music, because the music, pets, Dennis was talking to some veterinarians earlier, the fact that music and pets and humor all can be very soothing to patients in general, not just cancer patients.
Absolutely. No, we actually have in our libraries, we have a pet section because pets are so therapeutic. As you know, the studies have shown that they can reduce blood pressure. They can bring very meditative states, you know, just by their loving. You know, there are programs where pets visit patients in hospitals and those kinds of things. And so we do have that. And we also have a healing music section in our greenhouse library. And in that, we've got meditative music, yoga music, subliminal messaging and those kinds of things for peace and for quietude and those kinds of issues that are really important to your immune system. And when you're fighting something like cancer, you need to give your immune system as much peace as it needs.
And cancer is not a respecter of persons. You know, it doesn't. You mentioned the Beatles, and of course, Paul McCartney's wife died of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cancer books that I read, because I did a lot of research on that when my wife was diagnosed. The fact that the author says, you know, this guy who has millions and millions of dollars, he couldn't save his wife. So it's not a money issue. It's a research issue. And it's the fact that, you know, it's been around forever. And if you want to know a little bit about the history of cancer, there's a great book out there called The Emperor of the Maladies. Let me ask you about the Hispanic culture, and it's not just Hispanics, but everybody has, you know, their different culture and their different beliefs and stuff. For many years, one of the problems was the fact that Hispanic women would not go check themselves or get exams because it was taboo, you know, to have somebody else touch your breasts or for you to touch your breast. And then the same thing for men, you know, having themselves checked for prostate cancer.
Absolutely. And you're very right about that. We find that cancer is I'm Hispanic, and so I find definitely that it's still considered that C word, you know, the quiet. You don't talk about that. I have met a few women who unfortunately have been left by husbands because they've lost their breasts and their ovaries and things like that, and that makes them no longer a woman. These are cultural ideas, and unfortunately, I have run into that. But yes, cancer is something that also, and I think with our population here in El Paso, you know, we lack a lot of insurance coverage in this community, and so part of why people don't check themselves is because of that. Once I find out, what am I going to do? I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. And cancer is an expensive disease. I'm sure, as you've realized throughout the process, that it can wipe out most savings and whatnot, even if you have insurance.
And what you just mentioned about you know, the male, some males who have left their spouses, girlfriends, whatever, because of what happened, you know, that's another traumatic thing about that. Because if you don't have a strong family or strong spiritual base, whatever, whoever you believe in, it's very important because this storm is very difficult to ride.
I agree with you, and I think that's why in our libraries we do cover, you know, chemotherapy and treatment and whatnot, but we also go into the psychosocial aspects because there's a lot there. And depression can be a part of illness, and depression does harm your immune system. and you need every fighting white cell you've got in your immune system in order to battle this disease, in order to accept treatment, in order to believe in treatment and believe that you're going to get better. A lot of what I firmly believe that a lot of what we are is our belief in survival and in life and our want to be that. And so I think those are really important aspects of getting through cancer as well.
You mentioned money and how, you know, expensive treatment can be.
Absolutely.
But sometimes people don't want to go because they'll say, well, I don't want to know if I have something. And then if they do come out positive, they'll say, see, if I had never gone, it would be okay.
Yeah, it's better to. It's kind of like the ostrich with his head in the sand, because you're able to ignore or avoid as long as you can something that may be inevitable. And going back to what you talked about with men and prostate cancer, one of the big issues for men and a very scary one is about men and their virility, and that gets threatened, you know, with prostate cancer. And so there are things that can be done, but they're just afraid of ever having to go through that because then they don't feel like men.
And as far as what we talked about, men, women, whatever, you know, sometimes, in fact, about a month ago, we had a close friend who passed away, and she left 6 children. Mm. So now you're dealing not only with the dad, who is like, what do I do? He's grieving, but you have the children. What kind of support groups do you all have?
Well, we don't do support groups, but we do fund the Candlelighters of the El Paso area, and they have a really strong familial support system. They have camps for children with cancer, for the siblings of children with cancer, and support groups for their parents and their guardians. So, you know, in one way we do fund those issues, but it's not something that we organize. That organization is pretty much the main not-for-profit for children with cancer because they've been working here for so long and they know how to do things correctly. They've been working at this for so long. Coming up really soon, we have a conference called Cancer 180, which is a partnership with MD Anderson, and it is for adult survivors of childhood cancer. So they were kids when they had cancer, and they're now grown up, and it's from 18 to 44 years of age, and they have a lot of issues to deal with in terms of insurance coverage, employment, fertility issues. So we're going to cover all of this. But yes, children with cancer is a big issue. Children do survive quite a bit of their cancers, but they do have remaining issues that come with it.
Thanks to my good friend Steve Lama, who helped come up with the author's name, The Emperor of All Maladies, which is a history of cancer. And it's written in a style that it's very readable. It's not very, you know, it's not academic, but it talks about the history of cancer. And there's another one called Bathsheba's Breasts, and it's about breast cancer, and another one called Unnatural Causes. And that's also, as you can tell, I did a lot of research.
Yes.
And they have a great research academic library at MD Anderson, as I'm sure that you guys have, as you mentioned, the greenhouse. But the author's name is Siddhartha Mukherjee. And Dr. Mukherjee was actually at MD Anderson speaking, unfortunately, the week before we got there. But it's a great book if you want to find out a little bit more about cancer and what goes on there. And people don't realize, what you just said, Izzy, a little while ago, about the support that, you know, people are going to try and help you, as we talked before the interview started, and the fact that sometimes they mean well, but they'll say the wrong things, and that isn't a reason for you to get upset at them or but you are going to get upset. You're going to get upset,
yes,
at God. You're going to get upset at whoever. But they mean well, but they just don't know how to deal with it.
Exactly. I think a lot of us rely upon, you know, some catchphrases and things that we've known to be said very often. And that's because we're not practiced in the idea of somebody being ill. You don't prepare yourself for that. You know, you don't think, oh, I've got to know what to say when my friend becomes sick. It's just not in your purview. So it's not for a lack of want. It's just because it wasn't something you decided to be prepared for. And I think that one of the things about all of that is that what it means is comfort is really what people are trying to say when they do go through the things like, oh, you know, leave it in God's hands and you're going to be all right. And, you know, all of the things that they tell you. But it's also about their own fears of losing you. And I think that's where that comes from. I'd like to massage that fear away for you, you know. So I don't think it's purposeful. I think it's just about wanting to soothe.
And they feel sometimes don't realize that the person just wants to be heard. And so if it's quiet, that's fine. But unfortunately for us, silence is not golden, like the song used to say. Silence is golden. It's we want to hear noise. We want to hear somebody talk. As far as the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation, if someone is diagnosed recently or has been, what do they need to do as far as contacting you all? And when they do contact you, what is the first step or why should they contact you, one of them might say?
Well, and I'll go over that really quickly, but we do a number of things. First of all, the greenhouse is information. When you're going through cancer and you've got – and I'll begin by saying cancer is a very expensive disease. And so a lot of your money is going elsewhere. It's going to co-pays. It's going to medications that aren't covered. There's a lot going on. And so you might want a book about your colon cancer and the side effects and whatnot. But those books are usually anywhere from $15 to $40, $50. That may not be in your budget. So we've got it, a library that you can come and check items out. So you don't have to spend that money. So that saves you there. Also, there is the wig and hats and scarves and post-mastectomy camisoles called soft tees that we offer for free as well. So all of that is free. Our transportation program is free. And so you can, if you need to go out of town because your cancer is a little different or a little advanced, then you can go to Houston or Dallas or San Antonio. We're happy to help you with that. And we have a child care program because, well, I know that you're a parent and that, you know, when you've got a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and you are going through cancer and you're dealing with the side effects such as fatigue and dementia and you know, nausea and vomiting and all of that, it's very difficult to keep up with your 2-year-old, 2 or 3-year-old. And so we have a program that in a partnership with the YWCA where we place them into daycare on the days that you're going to treatment. So once you're done with treatment, you can come home and have a nap and regain your strength and your kid is safe and taken care of. And that's a really important thing to do. And that program is not used often enough. I think you know, it would relieve a lot of cancer patients if they could do that. We have an alliance program whereby we have seasoned volunteers who have been through cancer, and they have offered, I will talk with a newly diagnosed patient who had the same kind of cancer that I do. They've walked that road, and there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. There's somebody who's been there and can tell you, yes, I felt that way. Yes, I went through this. Yes, this is where you need to go if you need this or that or the other. So,
and you mentioned also about caregivers, right? That they will, you will match caregivers.
Absolutely, we will through the Alliance Network. We because caregiving is such a heavy load. You know, if anybody is a caregiver, you know that you've got to go to work and then you've got to make sure that your loved one is fed, gets to appointments. Oftentimes, you have to take all of your vacation time in order to do that, and you're stretched very thin. And so, yeah, and one of the good things about having an ally that is a caregiver is they know how to deal with things. Like, they can tell you, when I was working so hard and going through all of this, it was really helpful that somebody made a casserole and brought it for me and put it in the freezer, and I could parcel that out for us, you know, simple things.
And I've noticed now, because of technology and the internet, that they have, you know, things set up like that, where if someone wants to bring a dish, you know, they sign up and they get this email. Remember, you have to go by the X number of houses today and drop off a dish, or just stop by and visit, read to someone, whatever it takes, just to pass the time.
Absolutely. Let somebody get away. Let the caregiver get away to go sit quietly, even, is a really nice thing that you can do for someone. If you're if you've got a friend with cancer and their husband or their caregiver, their loved one is taking care of them all the time, it might be good to say, you know what, go get an ice cream. I'll stay. I'll be here. You know.
And you know, when I was at MD Anderson, I remember one person telling me, when asked, how are you? He said, thank you. Thank you for asking, because everyone always asks about the patient. And of course, the patient is important, but this caregiver is worn out sometimes.
Absolutely. It's such a thoughtful thing to do, is to say, how are you? How are you coping?
Now, we're getting to the end of the interview here. So May 3rd, is it, or May 4th?
May 4th. Saturday, okay. May 4th at the Chamazal Amphitheater, which is a beautiful amphitheater. And the acoustics in that wooden amphitheater are phenomenal. Our own executive director, Perithis Carreño, is the lead singer of a band called PT and the Cruisers, and she's going to perform Blackbird as part of the show. And we sold a CD a few years ago as part of our fundraising efforts, called The Kitchen Project, and that was one of the featured songs. She does a beautiful acoustic version of it. And the Moondogs and our volunteer Gilbert Gonzalez are phenomenal. The singers, the musicians are going to have pipes coming in. They're going to have almost a full orchestra. It's going to be a fantastic night. It'll start at 7 p.m. and tickets for adults are $20. There's a student price at $15, and for children, a $10 price. It's a
are
really
the tickets
great
available night. Only at the Rio Grande Council and at Cancer Foundation and at All That Music?
And All That Music. That's it. That's where you
can
get them.
Can you buy them any at the door?
Sure, absolutely. We're hoping to, you know, as with any event, we hope to sell out way before that. But,
and, of course, the theme song would be Help.
Help. Yes, exactly.
We need some money. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, and one of the taglines for the concert is All You Need Is Love. So you got to love us and buy your tickets.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. We've been visiting with Izzy Mora with the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. Again, talking about the concert tribute to the Beatles to raise money for WIGS in El Paso, and that will be on Saturday, May 4th. And you can pick up tickets at All That Music or at that Rio Grande Cancer Foundation, or, of course, Google for more information. Thank you very much for being with us here.
Thank you, Louie. I appreciate it so much.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louie Sines.